amber glow of our fire torches up. Smoke curls up to black sea, and in the distance she sails. Carry heavy burdens, lighten your load. Carry these heavy burdens.
Burdens, Joan Walsh. Hi, Joan. Welcome to the program.
Hiya.
There's a lovely sentiment about that song. It's a nice atmosphere, the picture of the dream catcher. Can you explain it for us?
Well, I suppose a friend and myself were in Sligo camping one night, and it was partly to do with that. There was limestone going into the sea with fossils in it, and there was fish in it. And the dream catcher is something I made, which is kind of an American Indian thing, where it catches the nightmares, lets the good dreams come true. So it's really to do with my life, anybody's life after troubles and stuff, that maybe it's time to start allowing good stuff to come through. And it's hard to really explain, but it's finding where damage has been done. And I could sort of say that it's to do with past lives and things like that, as well as past memories that kind of stop you from doing things, irrational things that stop you get going ahead with your own life. And when you heal them, then you can go ahead, and it takes a long time.
Lovely. Yeah. Very nice. And you were talking about Sligo there. I know the track was recorded in Galway. Why was that?
Because I lived in Galway for 8 months in 93, and a good friend of mine, Pat Neary, has a recording studio down there, and he said, well, we'll record a few things down. And I traded it for a painting, so managed to do a demo tape, you know.
Very good. How long have you been in the business, Joan?
I took up the mandolin in April 93. After 5 years of talking about buying a mandolin, I didn't allow myself to buy one. I didn't have the confidence. I'd be one of the people who'd be sitting looking at musicians going, God, I'd love to be able to do that, but I'm too old. Didn't start when I was a teenager. Why, you know?
But you had the interest there when
I
you
had the
small.
Interest, yeah. Mm. But I didn't think it was in me at all. So all this is kind of comes quite as a surprise, like it's been the inconceivable for me. It's happened, like I used to sing with a Hoover on, and I used to sing, you know, with a washing machine on, and that was all I used to do.
Yeah. And I know that you've written that track, and it's an original. Why did you start writing music? How did you get into that? I mean, that must have been really even harder to do, or did you always have that in your head that you were going to go ahead that way?
I never knew I was going to write music. I suppose I could say it was therapy. And words, spoken words to people aren't really enough. And music, songwriting, poetry is a kind of a vehicle for saying things that words won't. And also it gets the energy out, it gets the stuff out. And like the guitar and the mandolin and my songwriting have been kind of a vessel for me for changes in my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I did before I had them, but it's great that I have, you know.
Have you any family members that are involved?
A brother of mine, Sean, he's played guitar for years, you know, and my other brother, Stephen, as well, played the guitar when I was, you know, when they were teenagers. And, you know, I never knew I could play too, but they're very good. I had actually my brother playing the other night in the Dame Tavern for three songs.
That's right, you gig in the Dame, is it?
The Dame Tavern, which is opposite the Stag's Head, and a guy called John Hurley runs the songwriters right there. So it's quite a relaxed place, you know, you get the local people coming in playing dominoes, cards up at the bar, a few people listening, get people talking. But it's good practice, and it's good every Tuesday.
And you do the set on your own. Your piece is just your own. You've nobody backing you.
Myself. Yeah.
And well, seeing as we're going to take a little break now, and let you play live for a few minutes. So you go ahead and play something.
Go ahead now.
Yeah. Really? What would you like to play?
I'll play the other one that's on the demo tape, which is called Pushover Fool.
Sky. Raindrops to the rivers and out to the big ocean blue. I will never be anyone's fool. Addictions, you can keep them. They may have their price. And I paid dearly in the past. You could say I was to blame. Free will and choice was in this game. Well, this is my answer to why. From the realms of the heavens to the depths of the blue, I will never be anybody's pushover fool. And from the realms of the heavens under lightning blue, I will never be anybody's pushover. Will be filled. My unknown past, well, it will be healed. And from this dark and the light which I was slipped, I nearly crushed a pillar of stone, and all my tears for the great bird which had flown.
I know you told me earlier that you don't have any particular influences, but I can hear a wee bit of Joan Armatrade in there, and not in the voice, but in the sentiment or the strength of words. Is there anybody or any type of music in particular that you go for?
I like all sorts of music, from Cajun to folk to traditional to all sorts of stuff. I'm not a particular person who would know about different musicians, their names, some types of songs. I'm not good on that, but I like somebody who sings about something from the heart.
Mm-hmm. And you certainly do.
And something that somebody else can relate to. Whether I'm singing something that would be very personal to me, and I'd have my own reasons maybe behind it, somebody else will pick up something else on it. And if they can relate to their life and if it helps them, well, that's good. I'm kind of, because sometimes I'll write a song and I'll forget what it's about. Sometimes if I'll remember, it's like a marker in time.
Yeah.
And it'll remind me of why I wrote it. And what else can I say?
Do you think that there's a lot of competition at the moment in the industry?
Yes.
Is it hard for you to get on, get in there?
I mean, you have to make an effort. Like I go, like I said, to the Dame Tavern every Tuesday, and I've been playing out in Dublin now for the last year in various different places. And it can put you off seeing the amount of musicians out. Mainly there's the guys out there. There's not so many women, because I think society or whatever, you know, hasn't really allowed us to do it. So, I mean, well, maybe that's a good thing. There isn't many women, you know.
You can go out there and get fired up about it, and that might get you further.
Yeah.
Have you any plans to record further?
I hope to, this friend of mine, Pat Neary, was hoping maybe at the end of July to get together with a few musicians at the end of July to record again.
Okay, you're going to leave us with a song. What's this one called?
I think now. Which one will I do? I might do another strong song.
Well, Joan Walsh, thank you very much indeed for coming down to Thursday Viewpoint, and we'll have a listen to you again, get you back sometime to do some more, okay?
Okay, thanks, Sinead.
No cry, the young heart I can't move today. My body's aching and my arms just won't obey. I slept last night with tears in my eyes that I disguise. You won't listen to. And I felt the pain of those trees, yes, that weeping willow. The stars were out over that urban sky, and I walked alone, and I wondered why. Maybe I could believe again. Maybe I could take that stand again. And present, I'm still searching to find. Not a bad deal this time around. Maybe. The arguments, well, they go to the past. And I've still got this warm heart to help and hand. After all my wars, my battle lands. Maybe I could believe again. Maybe I could take that stand again. Maybe I could believe again. Maybe.
That was Joan Walsh making her radio debut, and she was in conversation with Sinead McClure. It's 9:28 p.m. on East Coast Radio. This is Thursday Viewpoint. The Sing Summer School in Wicklow is enjoying